Now, let me also say this, rather than me go to prayer, today, and I know that a lot of you have met Don Korak, some of you have even met his family, but Don Korak grew up in this church right over here. His parents and he, and they grew up in this church. Don has been a missionary in Costa Rica for a long time. He met and married his wife there in Costa Rica. They have two adult children that are with them here today. And so I wanted to give you, if you've never met Don, a chance to hear from him this morning for a few minutes about some of the work that he does, they do, and that this congregation has been part of, specifically ministering to a couple of groups of indigenous peoples of Panama. And so, if you've never met Don, he's going to speak to us for a few minutes, but I want to introduce you to his wife, Marjorie, their children, Don the Third, and Felipe is here. He is fiance. I'll get it right eventually. Are men called fiancés? The women are called fiancés. Rachel, their daughter's fiance, Felipe, is with them too. How about that? Will you stand so we can make welcome this family? We kind of whiten it up around here for these native Costa Ricans. They wanted to come and spend Christmas with Grandpa and Grandma, and they get to see Christmas and they get to see white. Here you are, brother. Lord bless you.
Thank you. Good morning, church.
Morning.
White winter. We appreciate it. My children complained to me a few months ago and said they hadn't been to Minnesota for Christmas. This is Christmas. You haven't met Christmas. Let me give you a quick little report of what you're involved in, what you're doing. Pastor Jim mentioned the Nobis. Jim was with us in August a year and a half ago, where we had our first graduation with the Nobi people in Panama. A couple things have changed. They changed locations, so we don't have to go through quite as much mud. That's a good thing, because the mud is quite impacting. Let me just give you this quick little insight. We graduated 50 students when you were there. They wanted to continue studying with us to get their associate's degree, and so they are, but we changed the rules. We said, you can continue to study. We'll do that for you. We'll stay with you another year or two. We'll see how that all works out. But the difference is now you'll have to be teachers while you're students. And so we asked them to take the classes that they received that first year, which we call preparation for ministry, and teach it in their local congregations. Now, a Nobi church is not like this. It's just, I mean, they're very dispersed people, so... But in their congregation or their people, they took the classes back to their people, and that was the requirement. So those 50 students are now teaching and training 125 people in their local churches. That's pretty good. We're thrilled about that. So just to give you an idea what that means, in October we were back with the materials for the next class. Our next classes will be in a couple months. We took in 25,000 pieces of paper. I've come to not like paper, just so you know. It's a lot of work. But we took in 25,000 pieces of paper for those 125 students, plus the 50, so 175 students, for their homeworks and quizzes and all that stuff that they're doing. So that's great. We're thrilled about them. We're also, this year, began working with Kunas. They're a different people's group. They're also in Panama. We started class with them in August. Very interesting, a whole different culture, a whole different people, and we're working with them. Our next classes with them are in January. We'll see how things go. We're working with them. We got to make some adjustments to get that right, but we're working that through, and they're doing great. We're very happy with the Kunas in Panama. In the fall, we did a tour through Central America, which means we went to Nicaragua, We went to El Salvador, and we went to Honduras. And we met with new pastors that we've never met before, and we did what we call our symposium, or Making Disciples Symposium. So that means that those pastors found out our heart about making disciples, what we're doing, what we're after, and they're going to begin classes then in the first quarter of this next year. Some have already been bothering me about the materials. They've been calling me just before I left, and so I gave them access to the materials. That was in El Salvador in particular. So there's a lot of brand new people who are going to meet with us, because we met with over 100 pastors that are interested in those three countries. So somebody's going to want to study. They're very excited about it in Central America. The thing that's exciting to me is that we went in with our flag flown high about making disciples. They said, this is what we're after. This is what we need. We're not really, if they wanted just another Bible study class, probably wouldn't want to come to us. Go to somebody else. What excites us with the Kunas, with the Nobis, and with these other people, if we have disciples that are making disciples in these areas, we'll change places instead of just having another class. Amen? In December, let me tell you about this. In December, after working for the last year of trying to figure out what to do, you'll remember we worked hard to get materials for Venezuela and trying to print them for Venezuela. We did get materials in Venezuela. Venezuela still got classes. I'm thankful they don't have to go. It's just a miserable place. I don't want to get into details, but it's not a nice place. Be happier in the snow. That material turned into this. So we've refurnished it. We've revamped it. We've rechanged it. I like the way it looks. We rechanged it. And we made a special printing for the nation of Cuba. So in December, we were in Cuba. We were in Cuba in 2018. Talked to a group of pastors there, similar like we just did in Central America. They came back to us, and the situation in Cuba is very complicated. But they said, we've got 400 students waiting to go. So we did a special printing. We've worked hard to try to figure out how to get the material to them. We figured out a way, kind of. So we got in 170 materials in December. I met with them. Interesting people. The country's interesting. I don't want to get too complicated, but the snow is pretty today. You know, it's just a hard place. It's just a hard place. Classes begin in January with those 170 students and the others' materials being prepared to take in as soon as we can get it there. This is the only thing that I can assure you. It doesn't matter the situation of today or when the church began. The church began, Rome wasn't too happy about it, but Jesus built his church. And he continues to build his church. I don't care what the local dictator says or what Rome said a couple thousand years ago. Jesus is building his church. And we're just thrilled to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Oh, there is one thing. I did bring just a couple bags of coffee, about a dozen. It's in the back. You can get it when you leave if you would like some. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. So there's your invitation, coffee lovers. There's some good stuff in a bag out here. You know, on a day like this, it's always hard to know if you should have church or not. A month ago, or almost, when it snowed a foot overnight, we called off church, and we found out the next day or two, almost nobody else did. So we wrestle whether we should or shouldn't have church, and pray. And I knew that Don and his family were here today, and didn't know how much opportunity you would get to see them. Not to mention, I like church. So here we are, and if you've heard the rumbling, that snow sliding off the roof. If you're parked on the east side of the building, your vehicle just got buried. A couple of yours. Hopefully all is well, but it just got buried. But thank you for coming. We will pray for your safety before you go home also. And at the close of the service, we are going to spend some time in prayer. If you've got your Bible, I want to spend a little bit of time this morning, closing out this year, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let me just say a word of prayer before we go any further. Father, thank you that you have allowed us to come here safely this morning. Thank you for the churches that are meeting all over the upper Midwest where snow, ice, rain, and difficult conditions have affected our Sunday morning worship. But Father, where people are gathering, will you watch over them and keep them safe and help us to get home safely when we are done worshiping? We do thank you that we can come to worship this morning. And I do thank you, as Brother Charles has already said, for safe travel for each one that has traveled this morning. We do pray for those that are out there on the roads right now that you would continue to grant safety this day. And above all else, Father, we pray for the salvation of our nation. We pray for the salvation of the peoples around the globe. We pray that people would come to know Jesus Christ. And should you tarry, Lord Jesus, and not return for a while yet, we pray that in 2020, millions and millions and even billions of people around the globe would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus before it is eternally too late. And so this morning, Father, as we look at the reminder from Moses to the children of Israel about to go into the promised land, I pray that whether we're listening via Facebook Live or sitting in a church service, this one or others, we would be reminded, O God, of your goodness and your grace and your mercies and your hand of guiding and leading and protection all throughout our lives. So thank you that we could gather this morning. Continue to guide us by your Spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I call the whole book of Deuteronomy Moses' last sermon. When you look at Moses' five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you would think, and most people when they start reading the Old Testament think, that is boring. However, I want to encourage you as you embark on a new year again this year, read the Bible through, if you've never done that, or at a minimum, take some portion of Scripture and read it every day. That's how we will learn more about who God is and what He desires of us, to read His Word. All right, back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is, as I said, Moses' last sermon to the children of Israel that are about to go into the promised land. Most of you know that you've read the Old Testament enough that for 40 years the children of Israel were wandering about in the desert because when they first came out of Egypt, you can find this back in Exodus, they were complaining and whining and murmuring, and they sent 12 spies up. You remember the story, remember? 10 came back and said, "We can't go there. They're too big. They're giants." Caleb and Joshua said, "Oh, yes, we can. Let's go." And so because the 10 stirred up the children of Israel, got them all worried and all worked up and all scared, and they were saying, "We can't go," for the next 40 years, the children of Israel that God had brought out of Egypt wandered around the desert until all of those from 20 old when they came out up and through that 40 years, all of them are now dead. Except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. Everybody else that was over 20 when they came out of Egypt is now dead. 40 years of wandering to deal with their murmurings, and it's only when they came out the 20s and down that are getting this sermon from Deuteronomy. Some of them would have heard the first sermon when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. That's all recorded in Exodus. Some of these, as teenagers, would have heard it then, but most of everybody else from 20 up is dead. So this last sermon is to the children of Israel that were under 20 when the original Ten Commandments were given back in Exodus 40 years ago. Okay, I only say that to you because Deuteronomy is challenging these people. He does give them the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, and 6 and 7 are some follow-up commands that they talked about back in Exodus. But I like Deuteronomy because it's encouraging them and it's challenging them and it's reiterating those commandments of God to the people that are about to cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. That's what Deuteronomy is. And I was reading Deuteronomy 8 the other day, and it reminded me, I just thought, that's a good reminder for the end of the year. And as we embark on another year, Deuteronomy 8 is a good reminder. Let me read it to you. It's a short chapter, and normally I don't have quite this many verses to share, but let me read Deuteronomy 8 to you. You follow along, and we'll make a little application, be reminded of what he says for them and some personal application for us. Deuteronomy 8. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Moses is telling these children about to go across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. And when he talks about every commandment, you just have to read Deuteronomy. 5 is where the Ten Commandments are. 6 and 7, chapters 6 and 7, are more commands of God to these people. And so he says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Why? Why is my own inserted word. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So Moses tells this generation, so he, that's God, humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I love that verse. And I love it when Jesus reiterates it in Matthew 4:4. I pray that verse often, knowing that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's where it comes from. That in Matthew 4:4, when Jesus reiterates it. Then he reminds them, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did you your foot swell these 40 years. What that means is, your foot not swelling simply means it. They had one pair of shoes the whole time. They didn't have to worry about designer sneakers. They had one pair of clothes and one pair of shoes, and God saw to it that none of that wore out in all those years. That's the detail that God will take care of us when we let him. And so Moses is reminding them, your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Verse 6, therefore, he says it again, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. That's where God is taking you, he was telling them. Even a land whose stones are iron. In other words, there's precious metals in this land. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Now, the point that I want to get to, we've got a little background. Verse 11, the challenge of Moses to the children about to go into the promised land. When you read Numbers, that's another exciting book, by the way. Have you read Numbers lately, brothers and sisters? A couple of you. In the beginning of Numbers, you get the count of men. There were above 20 that came out of Egypt. At the end of Numbers, you get the count of men above 20 that are going into the promised land. And it's almost exactly the same. And it's a whole different set of group. A whole different set of people, 600,000 men, plus their wives and kids. So he's telling this 600,000 men, plus their families, beware. What do we beware of? And I pick these verses for us in our application today in America. Beware, Moses said, that you do not forget the Lord, your God. And how might we forget the Lord? He explains that by not keeping his commandments. Beware. He's going to elaborate that when you get into this beautiful place and you've got bread aplenty, and the hills have got gold and iron ore and all kinds of precious metals, and the olive oil is there, and the honey is there, and the wheat and barley is there. They haven't seen wheat and barley in 40 years. They've seen manna. Kind of exciting. They've seen manna, and they complained about the manna. But he's telling them, and this is a reminder to me today and to us, particularly in the church, beware and do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you, Moses said today, which I command you today, don't forget. Beware, he says, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in those houses, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, he's telling them, when all of this good stuff happens to you, beware when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. The Lord who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, he's telling them, beware when you get into that land and you've got all of this bounty, all of this possession, all of this beautiful stuff. Beware when you get there that you don't say in your heart, verse 17, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Beware that that doesn't happen. 18. And when you get there, this is where it applies to me and to us today. These verses, I believe, speak to us. And when you get there, when you see the hand of God, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Excuse me. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, Moses said. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. I read this the other day. I'm already on my 2020 reading through the Bible. I read it from cover to cover every year just to be reminded and try to keep learning. I'm ahead of the game a little bit, so I've already read this for 2020. And I read this the other day and I thought, what a reminder to me. What a reminder to us. Don't forget. Don't forget the blessings of God. Don't forget the hand of God. Don't forget at whose hand these blessings have come from. Don't forget. Because I perhaps have been guilty. I know other people are because I've heard it. I have worked hard and I deserve this. I've heard that argument and maybe I've made it, and shame on me for doing it. But let us never forget what Moses reminded the children of Israel here on this day. When you get to that place in the promised land, when you get that good education, young people, when classes are going good and grades are going good, when you get to that place, farmers, and I was a farmer for a lot of years, and your herds are doing well and your crops are doing well, when you get to that place and you've built a brand new home and maybe even had to add on to it, and you get to that point in life when your business is doing good, never forget and say, well, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Moses warns them, don't go there. And I believe that's a warning to me and to us today. When we have seen the blessings of God in our lives, be careful not to let pride slip in and say, look what I have done. Because the next verse, I love it. It's a reminder to Jim first. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get what you got. Amen? Let us not forget that. I know this year has been one that some could say, well, Jim, I've been in the desert and I haven't really seen the hand of God. Some of those of their time said that too. They murmured. You got to go back to Exodus to learn about this generation that is now no more. They don't get to go into the promised land. They murmured against God. And as I read through all of that, I was reminded, they had just seen the generation that came out of Egypt. They had just seen the 10 miracles that God had wrought on Egypt and on Pharaoh. You remember the 10. They had just seen the parting of the Red Sea. That don't happen by itself. They had seen water come out of a rock, for goodness sakes. They had seen the hand of God, and they were guilty of murmuring, take me back to Egypt. You remember the story? I want some onions and give me some leeks and give me some fish. I'm sick of this manna. They coveted more than what they had. God was giving to them their needs. He wasn't necessarily guaranteeing their wants, but he was supplying every need that they had. And they said, take me back to Egypt because I want me some fish and some onions and some leeks. And all I'm getting here is manna. That generation is gone because they murmured against God. They were never happy. They were never satisfied. Give me more. And Moses gets to this point in Deuteronomy and gives this sermon to the children of Israel that are about to go into the beautiful promised land. And he's simply telling them, and I thought it's so appropriate for Jim, if nobody else, at the end of this year, don't forget. Don't forget the blessings of God. Don't forget how God has directed us through the scorpions of life. Don't forget, even when you have lost loved ones and been through the drought of life, don't forget the hand of God, how He has guided, how He has provided, how He has blessed, how He has carried us through those difficulties. And I know, and I said it, I started here already, I realize some of you have been through the desert of difficulty. I know that. Loss of life, loss of loved ones, cancer diagnoses, marital strain. I know that some of y'all have been through the desert of difficulty. But I want to encourage you, as Moses encouraged these people, don't forget the hand of God. If you have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, you have a hope that's eternal. Amen? If you have trusted Christ as Lord, you have a hope that goes way beyond the deserts of today. You have a hope. You have a treasure. You have a crown laid up before you if you have trusted Christ as Lord. I got a lot more notes, but time is already up, and I want to spend some time in prayer. But I want to say this to close. I want us to be very careful in the 21st century church, especially of America, where we've been so blessed. So blessed. You've seen some of the places Don has seen. You know what I'm referring to. I'm so thankful a year ago, August, for Don inviting Sherry and I to be part of that graduation for the Nobe people. Some of you are here, you saw our trip, I showed you in pictures. I'm so thankful for that experience, to see those beautiful people. They had nothing. They would walk for days to worship, to come and learn. I'm so thankful to have seen that and seen these beautiful people that love Jesus. Running water? What's that? That's the stream at the bottom of the hill. I'm simply saying to us in America, thank you, Donnie, too, for interpreting. Don the Third was my interpreter down there. He did a masterful job because I had never had an interpreter before. Right on, brother. I'm simply saying to us in America, where we have seen the bounty and the beauty and the blessing of God, let us not forget at whose hand it came from. Let us never forget at whose hand it came from. As Moses warned the children of Israel that day, when you get over there into the promised land, when you cross that Jordan and you see this place, oh, it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. When you get there, don't forget. Don't forget how you got here. Don't forget how you got there. Don't forget how God is going to take care of those other nations, the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites. Don't forget the hand of God. And so as we close out 2019 and look at 2020, I want to encourage us, friends. I guess I'm just hopeful that we're more thankful and more mindful of how God has blessed us and taken care of us and provided for us and given us the strength and the intellect to do what we do. I pray that we'll be more mindful of that than ever before and give Him glory. Give Him praise. I know we could dwell on the desert. We could. But that's not going to get us anywhere. And so I hope that as we enter a new 2020, the calendar says 2020, it just boggles my mind. I was born so long ago. To see the calendar now says 2020, that just boggles my mind. But that's what it says. And as we mark on 2020, I pray that we are more thankful, more surrendered, more mindful of the hand of God in our lives than ever before. And so, amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer, friends. God, our Father, we are mindful of your goodness. We are mindful of your grace that reached down into the pit and the muck and the mire of humanity and rescued us. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you again, Jesus, for coming to die on that cross for our sin. Thank you that we can be a new creation in Christ when we repent of our sin, put our faith completely in the Son of God, and walk with Jesus. It's a brand new day. And Father, you know there are people here today and people that are part of our congregation and people part of our community that are hurting. And we pray for them this morning, Father, and ask that your will would be done, that you would grant strength and healing and salvation and mercy to each and every one. And I pray especially this morning, Father, for Don and Marjorie, Rachel, Felipe, and Donnie, as they go back to places other than here, that you would bless them and that you would continue to use them to further your kingdom, that you would use them in powerful ways, in mighty ways, as they minister to other people and other people groups in Central America and around the globe. Use them, Father, in powerful ways for your glory to advance the kingdom. And for us, Father, use us here in 2020 to take the good news across the street, to the next town, to the next county, to the coworker, to the neighbors. Father, help us to be faithful to you. As we embark on a new year, we can embark like the children of Israel, like we're going into the promised land. We're going into a new year. Help us to be used by you and faithful to you and never forget your hand of blessing and goodness on us. And now, Father, grant us safety as we travel home. Grant all those that are traveling around today safety as we travel home. And this year, Father, we pray for salvation. Oh, we pray for salvation again. Salvation for this community. Salvation for Americans. Salvation for Central Americans and around the globe. That people would come to know Christ, be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and passionate for Jesus. We pray, oh God, revive your church. Revive us, oh God, and use us for your glory here and across the globe. Revive your church for your glory, Father. Thank you for this morning's gathering. Thank you for each one that has come. Go with each person today, tomorrow, into the new year, into the new month. Whatever you have for us, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Guide us by your gracious, loving, faithful hand. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.